store up yourselves for the treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
So, good morning, church. Oh, dear. Good morning, church. Yeah, thank you, sir. Good man. It's great to see you, and thank you so much. 180, yes, I think your teacher is waiting for you, so please go upstairs. I want to thank you, first of all, for giving me the opportunity to preach on this topic, because I have just enjoyed my week so much preparing for it. And I've had a revelation about what are we doing, what are we hoping for, which I hope I can share with you this morning. Before I start, I would just like to tell you why I'm wearing these rather smart clothes, which only come out once a year. Because we have been celebrating Chinese New Year. My lovely wife wasn't here. She's now back, so we felt it was time to... Thank you. I just want to tell you very quickly about what happens in China. So in China, everyone will decorate their house around their door frame with red, what we call couplets, sayings, blessings, good health, good wealth, good happiness for the new year. Have you seen that before, though? Where might you have seen that before? Torches. Sorry? Torches. Oh, Taunton. Excellent. Thank you, sir. Somewhere else, if you've been studying your Bible, you would have seen this. Because they do not realize that they are following the Passover. It has to be a red color. It has to be protecting from evil, and it has to bring blessing into your family. So China has been worshipping or celebrating the Passover for many thousands of years without knowing it. And that's why God actually has his hand on China. And great things are happening there, despite the viruses. But maybe because of that, actually. So I just want to share that with you. There's a whole series I can tell you about lots of things that the Chinese use in their rituals that are actually based on Old Testament biblical principles. So it's very exciting what we see in China. One thing I must do, at China, it's the person who is the sort of most senior has to bless those who are more junior and those who help. So in a family, I would have to give to all my children and grandchildren, and well, I haven't got grandchildren yet, nieces and so on. But you also have to give money out to those people who help you as well, be it guards or cleaners or so on. And today, I would just like to give out to those who've helped me. So Nigel. So Chinese New Year actually is a very expensive time, especially for me, because I have a lot of nieces and nephews and so on. But actually, it's a great blessing to be able to give, usually money, to all your family. It's a great time of celebration. And that's really part of what our message today is about blessing others, about giving away what you have for God's purposes. So, just to come back to our powerful vision for this year, flourish. And one of the key paragraphs at the bottom was, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Invest our money, invest our time, and investing our talents. And that's what we're talking about today. First of all, though, let's just look at context of where the verse that Denisha very eloquently talked about, where does it fit? Well, it fits in to Matthew in chapter 5 and 6, where he's talking to the crowd up on the mountain, and he's talking to his disciples, the Beatitudes. He's giving guidance on being salt and light, and as Dave presented last week, a powerful testimony about being light into our community, IPA, right? I remember that very well. In fact, there was a discussion this week by some, I won't mention who, that could it be VSOP, my tucket this week, or WINE. But anyway, not. But Jesus was giving principles in this section about how to deal with key subjects. Murder, adultery, divorce, an eye for an eye, oaths, love for enemies, giving to the needy, and so on. Actually, if you want principles to live your life, in those two chapters, they're all there. And Jesus is countercurrent to the way you'd think. He doesn't say, oh, you must not do this, you must do that. He gives you ideas, concepts of how to live your life. Very powerful. Please go back and read it when you get home from church today. Read chapter 5 and 6. You will be enriched. There at chapter 6, you find treasures in heaven. But then, straight afterwards, Jesus says, do not worry. Don't worry. If you follow my commandments and give everything away, do not worry. As Nigel read, God has you in his hand. He will not let you fall. He will not let you fail. Do not worry. And he goes on then about saying, ask, seek, knock. Whatever you ask of the Father, you will get. Amen? Amen? Brilliant. Narrow and wide gates, we'll come on to that. A tree and its fruit. Watch out. If a tree is not producing fruit, it is no use. So Jesus is telling us really what he's looking for from us. Back to this verse. I won't read it again because Denisha already did a great job. But the middle bit is very interesting. He talks about eyes. The eye is the lamp of the body. Yes, thank you. If your eyes are healthy, we're all blessed to have healthy eyes. But it doesn't mean that. If you look down here, in the footnotes, you see, if the eyes are generous, that's what it means. If the eyes are generous, your whole body will be full of light. You will be a blessing and you will be blessed. But if your eyes are unhealthy, and again, down here it means stingy, tight-fisted. If you're tight-fisted, your whole body will be full of darkness. And then the light within you is darkness. As Dave was saying last week, we are called to be light. We are called to be light. And in this day and age, as the world is getting darker, we need to shine brighter and brighter. No one can serve two masters. We know that. And I know many friends who follow money and their lives. They look very glamorous, but I know that they are dry inside. I've been there myself, so I know. But I'll tell you that another time, perhaps. You cannot serve both God and money. But it means more than this, as we'll explore. Have a look in your eyes. Really. When you get home, go to the mirror. You don't need to do all this. We know your hair is lovely. Look into your own eyes. Can you see a sparkle? Can you see life? Because that Jesus came to give us life. And the eyes show that. I put up that little baby's face at the top because when I saw that, it just made me laugh. A cheeky little sparkle in their eyes. And that's what we are called to be, to have life through our eyes. If your eyes are not, if they're fixed on money, if they're fixed on being jealous, then you follow these over here. And I apologize for anybody who has green eyes. It's symbolic here, okay? It doesn't mean you're in trouble, all right? But if your eyes have, I've met people, especially in business, their eyes are very dark. Their eyes have no life. They are fixed on money. You don't see that sparkle. So have a look. I know everyone here, your eyes will be shining bright. But it's important to know these. We're called to be heavenly minded. And at the end of my time here, I will show you what God has in store for you. Is that okay? I will show you a glimpse of heaven, of what he's promising to give you if you're faithful doing his work here on earth. He doesn't call us to be earthly minded. Don't follow what the earth says or thinks. Heavenly minded, earthly good. That is our purpose. Before I go on, I just want to turn over to a good friend of mine, Toby Mack. Well, he was going to sing. Perhaps he's not going to. He's lip syncing. I don't think I can be that fast. Nope. We'll come back to Toby. A very good song, all about, I don't want to gain the world and lose my soul. And we'll play it a bit later. When I was a youth leader, I asked my youth, I said, what do you want to do when you leave school? All of them said, I want to get a great job, and I want to earn lots of money. And I will give some back to the church. Yeah. I didn't say anything, but it's not quite my view. What I did do is I played this song every week for a month in church to them. By the end of it, they came back and said, Steve, we got it. Okay, thank you very much. You don't have to say anything more. While I was researching, I found this passage from Billy Graham. And it says this, many young people are building their lives on the rock of materialism. But he says when he goes across the country, he finds people are very unhappy, even though now in 2020 we are at the pinnacle, the top of technology and our lifestyle. It's fantastic. And yet we're still unhappy. We still have a lot of poor. Why? Well, as Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money. And even in the article, it says about a study that was done where rich people are more unhappy because they're very holding on to their wealth. They cannot let go. When I talk to some of my friends who've got a lot of money, they always say, I say, can't you retire now? You've got enough, right? No. 100,000 more, 200,000 more would be enough. And when they get there, they always want more. They're trapped. One of my pastors before he became a Christian, he had a Ferrari. And he said, when I became a Christian, I realized that that was the biggest anchor around my neck I'd ever had. He said, if you own a Ferrari, you have to polish it pretty much every day. If you don't drive it for a week, the brake discs rust. So you have to actually then sand down the brake discs. And if you go out, you're always scared that someone's going to scratch it because they're jealous of your car. So it's a burden. It's a great burden. So when he became a Christian, the first thing he did was sell his Ferrari. And he let go of that. The article goes on. Perhaps. Yeah. It tells us that greed and selfishness are bad for us. Thank you, sir. God bless you. It goes on to say that Jesus, you know, when he fed the multitude, he actually was quite frugal as well. He said, gather up the fragments so that nothing be lost. So God has created wealth, but he wants us to be stewards of it, to live without luxury, but to be good stewards of what we have. Please read through the article. I will send it out later on. But it really was very powerful to read through this and understand the thinking. You've all heard of the parable of the rich man and the kingdom of God. Jesus, this man comes up very rich to Jesus and says, what do I need to do to get into the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus doesn't say the first thing. He says, have you followed all the commandments? And the man says, yes. The last challenge, though, is sell your possessions. So Jesus wanted to show that even if you follow all the laws, holding on to material things will prohibit you. Wise people know that all their money belongs to God. We're just stewards. I have here a fresh, crisp £5 note. I earned this, I worked hard, I was given this. But who does this money really belong to? Who do you think it belongs to? I'm a Christian. Who does it belong to? Who said that the loudest? Who said God? You see, does it matter? I now have a £20 note. Who does this belong to? Amen. Funny how you changed very quickly. You learn very fast. Actually, on here, this is not a real £20. Do you know that? It's not fake, but it actually says on here, the Bank of England promises to pay the bearer £20. So we've been handling fake money, promises, for a long time. But God gives us this. He wants to make us stewards of this, that we use it for his purposes, not for what we would love to have. Sometimes we're allowed to have that. As Nigel said, and this church is a very generous church, but our key light, as Dave was speaking about last week, is being generous. Being different from the world, being generous to a point where they go, what are you up to? As you all thought of me when I handed over that £5. What are you up to? We can be that people because God has said, don't worry, I will look after you. I will give you everything you need. I found this little verse here. When God blesses you financially, don't raise your standard of living. Raise your standard of giving. We need to be that people that give and give and give of our time, of our wealth, of our talents. When I was praying about this, I said, well, what is that? How do I do that? And I found this. Declutter. Make 2020 your year to declutter. Rid yourself of things you don't need, you don't use, the nice to haves. You'll find your life actually is far nicer. You say, Steve, practice what you preach. Well, actually, we did. So, yeah, in the last few days, we've been starting to declutter our home. And you know, it's actually very liberating. We've got several bags of stuff that are going to the charity shops now. But let's be a people who don't rely on things. We give away what we don't need to help bless others, either in the church or into our community. It's good for you. And please, those from a medical background, please bear with me. But I found this research that said, actually, when you give, it lifts your levels of three hormones that are good for you. Dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin. They actually make you feel good. And they're actually good for your heart. They're good for your body. But when you are facing anxiety, stress, or depression, these three are pushed down and others come up, the ephedrine and norepinephrine. And these make your heart beat faster and your kidneys secrete other things and so on. And these actually shorten your life. So being a people that give and enjoy giving is actually good for you. Use your time wisely. We're all too busy. We never have enough time. But 2020 needs to be the year where we balance that back. Time for people. Time for family. You will never have this day again, so make it count. Don't put things off. I'll do it next week. I'll call that person next week or next month. Make the call today. Especially if it's family, friends, those who are suffering, call them today. Time is your most precious gift because you only have a set amount of it. We don't know how much time we have on this earth. So wouldn't you want to use every minute for good, to do the things that God calls you to do? Use your talents. I'm very privileged. I can stand up here and look at you. You're not so privileged. You have to sit there and look at me. But never mind. Forgive me. But I see a very talented group of people. If we could bring all of you together every day, working together for God's purposes as a group, how powerful would that be? I know we all have other lives to live and things to do. But you are all have talents, every single one of you. It's God's promise you have a talent, a skill. When he breathed life into you in your mother's womb, he also put in a talent, a gift that is unique for you. Some of you are talented musicians, talented speakers, talented prayer warriors. And there are many other talents here in the room, but you all have a talent. If you do not know what your talent is, then can I suggest to you, at the end of this service, you come up and stand with the prayer folks up here, because they will stand with you and pray with you until your talent becomes apparent. It could be days, could be weeks, could be months, or it could be straight away. There is a parable about the talents, which you all know. I won't go through it, but I'll just make two points. Do you remember there are three servants who are given different amounts of money by their master? One got one got two, one got five. Now, talents in this context is a unit of money, but not a small one. I'm not sure, I'm not a scholar, but I found a reference saying that one talent is equivalent to 36 kilos of silver, which is equivalent to 6,000 denarii. One denarii is one day's work. So that's 6,000 days' work, 20 years. The master must trust his servants very much to give them 100 years' worth of pay. And he said, go and use it. And of course, when the master came back, he said, what have you done? And the one that had five had gained another five. The one that had two had gained another two. The one that had one had buried it, not used it, fearing the master would punish him. If we switch it around now and play on the word talent, what talent has God given you? And are you using it? If we're not using our talents, aren't we like the one that had one talent and buried it? But if we are talented and we're using it, and we're using it and growing it, then we are like the other two servants. At the end of that story, the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Ladies and gentlemen, church, this is something that I want. And I hope you want it as well. That when we get called home, as we all will, that as you get into heaven, Jesus is waiting for you there to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy eternity with me. He's not going to do it as a group. U5, U15, and so on. He's going to stand there and personally welcome each of us into heaven. And if we've followed the Master's principles, if we've followed his commandments, he will say these words. Isn't that worth everything? Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, Nigel, good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy eternity with me. Ladies and gentlemen, my heart changed. Perhaps before, when I was a younger and foolish man, I wanted other things. I wanted to be famous or be rich or whatever. But my heart changed. That's what I want. I don't care what else happens in my work and so on. Of course I will work hard, but not for the rewards the world offers. I just want that. I just want Jesus' promise that when I arrive in heaven, I know he's going to say this. That's what I hope. And I hope that's what you want as well. But there's more. Jesus is going to stand in front of the Father and say, "You all are my children. You all are my followers. You all are my servants. Well done, good and faithful servants. Father, look, can I introduce you? These are my followers. They did a great job. I'm very proud of them. Father, please reward them." This is what is awaiting us in heaven. Would you like to know more? Yeah? How many of you knew there are 5 crowns awaiting you in heaven? It's in Scripture. You may look. There are 5 crowns. The crown of rejoicing for those who win others to Christ. The crown of righteousness for those who look and love Christ's return. The crown of glory for those who faithfully teach and preach God's word. The incorruptible crown for those who've run a good race in the Christian life. And finally, the crown of life for those who suffer for the name of Christ, especially if they lay down their lives for it. There will be a time when we're in heaven. I don't know how it will work, but I believe that it will not be like a human competition where you're waiting. How many crowns did I get? Oh, I hope they didn't get so many. I hope I got more than them. No. We will all be rejoicing when we hear and see our fellow Christians, people we know, being called up for Jesus to go, "Can I give you the crown of life? You earned it. Well done." The soul winner's crown. That would be Alan. Do you think? Alan, come on down. And you know, all the forefront would be, "Yay! Alan, go for it!" The crown of righteousness. Those who pray for Jesus' return. I'm sure there are many in here. The crown of glory for those who faithfully teach and preach God's word. David, Nigel, Dave, come on down. And we'd all cheer. The incorruptible crown for those who've run a good race. Well, I hope that's all of us. And finally, those who've given their lives for the gospel, for the mission. That would be the crown of life. But heaven has already said in the Bible, these promises are there. This is heaven that we're aiming for. And that's why, church, we should start to let go of things that hold us too much to this earth. Our things, our stuff, our money. And we should start to invest our time, our talents, our money into things of God. Because this is waiting for you in heaven. And please, go back and study it. Please, personally, reassure yourselves of what this means to you. Don't believe the foolishness of preaching. Go, look, study, put on your heart. It's your promise. It's not Steve's promise to you. It's the Lord's promise in his written word to you. Jesus is coming back. Amen? Are we ready? I'd suggest we're not. But we need to be. Because I've heard many preachings from many better preachers than me of talking about we're in end times. When? No one knows. But we need to be ready. We need to have that excitement now. And I believe the vision that we've been given for this year is really to prepare the church for mighty things here in Chard and beyond. And I hope that this helps make sense to give you how we can do that in a small way, in a powerful way. My last slide. Oh, Christian, look up and take comfort. Jesus has prepared a place for you, and those who follow him shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of his hands. Your place, if you truly believe in the Lord Jesus, you've given your life, your place is guaranteed. So stop worrying about everything else. You've got your ticket. Now it's your turn to get on with the task. Use whatever you have at your disposal. Time, talents, energy, your own character, your own gifts. Everything you can to do his will. You will not lose out, and do not worry. Thank you.